Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 19 through 21, where we continue in our Sunday morning series in the gospel according to Luke, and where Luke, led by God's Holy Spirit, wrote these spirit-breathed words of life and blessing. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for these words of your dear Son, preserved for us by the ministry of your Holy Spirit and through the labors of your servant Luke. We pray that you would grant us not only to be hearers of the words of your dear Son, but doers also, that we may glorify you, our Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, over 3 million people subscribe to Ancestry.com. And of course, millions of other people around the world do what people have been doing almost from the beginning of time, a little bit after the beginning of time, and that is ancestral research, following their genealogies. No matter what culture you look at, genealogy tends to be a big deal. Perhaps it fell out of fashion in our culture for a little while, but you see the commercials, and many of you may be into ancestral research, genealogical research as well. There is something within us that wants to know more about where we came from, who we are related to, what makes us the way we are, whether we might be descended from or related to someone famous or infamous. We have a desire to know such things. The Gospels, particularly Matthew and Luke, include genealogies of Jesus. Very important. Genealogies of Jesus. Why? Because he is a real human being with a real ancestry through his mother Mary, going all the way back to our common ancestors, Adam and Eve. And Jesus, as we are reminded in our passage this morning, had an immediate family. Here, his mother and brothers were seeking him. No doubt they were aware of the increasing hostility against him from the religious leadership of his day. They were concerned for Jesus' well-being, as families are wont to do relative to those in their family. They don't want to see them in harm's way, so they wanted to get Jesus home and out of harm's way, no doubt. Get him out of the spotlight, let things cool down a little bit. He needed a break, so they thought. But this episode is reminiscent of what we saw at the end of Luke chapter 2, when Jesus went missing and his parents found him at the temple. Frazzled, Mary asked him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And Jesus, 12 at the time, said, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Or as it's sometimes translated, "I must be about my father's business. I must be doing the will of my heavenly father." And here, about two decades later, in our passage, he made that clear once again. His priority was doing his heavenly Father's will, literally at all cost. It's not that he didn't love his earthly family. He loved and respected them very much. But his mission, which was ultimately for their good and their salvation, was not to do their will. It was to do the will of the one who had sent him. And here he said that those who were truly his family, ultimately his family, his spiritual family, his relatives in that sense, are those who do the will of his Father as well. That is how Jesus' true brothers and sisters are known. They seek to do the will of Jesus' Father. Jesus' Father has, through our faith in Jesus, become our Father as well. And so we bear the family likeness by seeking to do our Father's will as Jesus has done and continues to do his Father's will. In Matthew's account, at the end of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus stretched out his hand to his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and brother and sister. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." As we prepare to meet together as brothers and sisters, what an amazing privilege we have. We have a wonderful family. We confessed the faith earlier, the apostolic faith. We have a family that stretches back to the beginning of time and will continue until Christ comes again, continue to grow. And it goes all around the world, brothers and sisters. You know, the psalmist said, God sets the solitary in a home. God sets the solitary in a family. We are in a family. We are brothers and sisters of one another. Because we have a common older brother, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because we have a common Father, the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And so as we prepare to meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ with our elder brother Jesus here at his table, let us consider his holy words under two headings. First, Jesus' physical relatives, speaking of his immediate family. And second, his spiritual relatives. First, Jesus' physical relatives. As Luke has made clear through his gospel, Jesus was a real human being born to a real mother, raised in a real family, a Jewish family within the Jewish faith. He was conceived unlike any other human, by the mysterious supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of, as we confess from the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed and the Heidelberg Catechism and the Westminster Catechism and Confession of Faith, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit of the human substance of the Virgin Mary. And as the Gospels make clear, she did not know her husband, Joseph, until after Jesus was born. After that, she did know Joseph, and they had other children, the ones that the Gospel writers, as well as St. Paul, referred to as his brothers and sisters. We don't know for sure the names of his sisters, but his brothers were named James, Joseph, Jude, and Simon. Some believe that Joseph, his father, his earthly father, had already died by the time that this episode took place. Joseph was a devout man, likely much older than Mary. Given the fact that the last time we explicitly hear about Joseph is when Jesus was 12 years old, it is likely that he died sometime after that, perhaps well after that, but before Jesus started his public ministry about 18 years later. But we mustn't interpret Jesus' words here to mean that he didn't care about his earthly family. He loved them very, very much. In fact, he was the most faithful son and faithful brother that ever walked the earth. Even when he was dying on the cross, undergoing the hell that we deserve because of our sin, his heart and mind and bludgeoned eyes went to his mother, who was faithfully in attendance there at Golgotha. And he entrusted her to the care of his faithful disciple, John. Mary believed in her son as her savior. She loved him as her son, that's for sure, for he really was her son, and she really was his mother, and she was a godly mother. But she loved him in yet another way. She loved him as her savior. She adored him as her savior. She and his brothers and sisters are pictured in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Luke wants us to see the faith of Mary and of his Jesus' brothers and sisters. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. They're right there in Jerusalem with the other disciples. And the godly women who were followers of Jesus, right there with them in obedience to Jesus' instructions. They're obeying. Mary's obeying her son. Jesus' brothers and sisters are obeying their older brother. And so we see them obeying his instructions that he gave right before his ascension into heaven. They're devoting themselves to prayer, awaiting the promise of the Father, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which happened 10 days after that ascension. And Jesus' brother James, who came to be known as James the Just, went on to be the leader of the church in Jerusalem and the author of the book of James. He commenced that letter with these words, James, a servant or slave, literally, a doulos, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that for a minute. Who would ever call their older brother their Lord? Who would ever say, I am relinquishing all my rights to my older brother? Any younger siblings in here willing to do that to your for your older brother? I didn't think so, no. But that's what James was saying. I have relinquished all my rights to my older brother. I am his servant. I am his slave. Without reservation, without hesitation, what he says to do, I will do. Where he says to go, I will go. Who does that? Only someone who does that in their right mind. Only someone whose brother is Jesus. Only someone who is able to look back on his whole life and say, maybe there were times when I thought my brother was weird. Odd. He didn't quite fit in. But now I understand why I thought he was weird. It's because he is the only sinless person I've ever known. And he is God's eternal Son in the flesh who came to save me. It's really the rest of us who are weird because of sin. He is holy. He is humanity as God designed it to be. He is consecrated to God. And he went and did the unimaginable. He died for me, his sinful brother, who sinned against him time and time again. He went and did the unimaginable. He laid down his life for me. So great was James's love for his brother that he was willing to be martyred for the sake of his brother's name. What a testimony. Again, think about it. We think of the disciples who knew Jesus intimately for 3 years. They were with him like 24/7 for 3 years. Their testimony was perfectly righteous. No deceit found in his mouth. Never did he sin. Here is James who's saying, I knew him, I've known him my whole life. Never saw him once sin. What a testimony to the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. His brother Jude, the writer of the book of Jude, likewise surrendered all to his older brother. His epistle begins, Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ. There it is again. And brother of James. Mary, James, Jude, and no doubt the others loved Jesus. They came to understand why he had come. He had come to save them and restore them to God. But here's the good news. You don't have to be related to Jesus in the way that Mary and James and Jude were related to Jesus in order to know him. In order to have the same testimony about him. How wonderful he is and what a savior he is. And have abundant life in him. And serve him as they served him. And advance his kingdom and the precious name of Jesus in your life to him. That's our second point, the spiritual relatives of Jesus. When word reached Jesus that these whom we've just described, Mary and James and Jude and the others, were looking for him, he answered them in verse 21, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. What does that mean? Fundamentally, it means three things. First, repentance. Repentance. Jesus preached a simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? That means confess your sins to God. I loved what one of our elders prayed as we met in my study before the service, as we always do. He prayed that as we confessed our sins from the confession of sin this morning, that we would do so genuinely, that we would mean it. Repentance is genuinely saying, as we said earlier with our lips, it's genuinely saying from our heart, Holy Lord, I have sinned time and time again. I have been guilty of pride and unbelief. I have failed to obey your word and neglecting you in my daily life, and so on. That's repentance. It's confessing our sin to God. It is, most fundamentally, a change of mind. In the Greek, that's the word repentance, most fundamentally. It's a change of mind. It's saying, you know what, God? I've been wrong. You've been right. I bow the knee to you. I want to change. I want to change. I don't want to be so prideful. I want to be humble. I don't want to keep a record of wrongs anymore. I want to forgive. I want to love as Jesus has loved me. I want to honor the Father as Jesus honored the Father in his earthly pilgrimage. is to repent. It is to confess your sins to God and ask Him to grant you victory over your sins. It's to turn from sin and follow Jesus. So first, repentance. Second, reception. John said in John 1, 11 through 13, that Jesus came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. As we've seen, many of the Jews, particularly the Jewish leadership, those who should have recognized Jesus as the Messiah and said, "Thank you, God, for sending the Messiah. We worship Him. We receive Him." But the leadership was so full of pride and wanted to control others so much that they rejected Jesus. Many of them later came to faith. But initially, certainly, they rejected Jesus. He came to His own people, and they did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. That's relatives of Jesus, brought into Jesus' family forever, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That is at the heart of what it means to hear and do the will of God the Father. The one who said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." In other words, do what He says. Jesus said, "Whoever receives me receives the Father who sent me." Repentance, reception, and third, reflection. Reflecting the family likeness by asking the Spirit of God, who is called elsewhere in the New Testament, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God's Son. Asking the Spirit of God to reproduce in you the human holiness of Jesus Christ, that you might reflect His character and thus reflect the character of the Heavenly Father. What does this look like? Well, we've already heard in Luke what it looks like from Luke chapter 6 in Jesus' famous sermon there. It means, at its core, it means doing those uniquely Christian things, those uniquely Christ-like things. It means loving your enemies. Forgiving and doing good to those who are unkind to you. It means being merciful to others, even as your Father in heaven is merciful to you. Are you related to Jesus? May the answer be a resounding yes. Not because I've earned it, but because of Jesus, because of what He's done for me. May the answer be a resounding yes as you repent of your sins. Receive Jesus by faith and reflect the family likeness more and more by living a life of dependence on God's Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.